Thank you, Jerry. Joe, we will see you guys tomorrow. And now we will talk to all of you out there. And we were planning on doing Blue Jays Talk to midnight tonight because of the trade deadline. And it's a good thing because now we're going to need some time. Blue Jays beat the Kansas City Royals 7-6 in 3 hours and 23 minutes, an 11-inning game. Another phenomenal win for the Blue Jays, coming from behind a couple of times. Down 3-0, they tie it 3-3. Down 6-3, they tie it 6-6. And they wind up with the win. The Blue Jays bullpen, how about this? Bo Schultz, Aaron Sanchez, Roberto Osuna. Let's put Aaron Loop in there, too. He gave up an infield single. Loop, Schultz, Sanchez, Osuna, Cecil, and Hendricks combined to throw 6 innings of 3-hitter, allowing 1 earned run and walking nobody. And they retired the last 13 batters they faced. And there was no LaTroy Hawkins and no Mark Lowe. All of a sudden, the Blue Jays have a really, really good bullpen. They beat the Kansas City Royals today 7-6. In case you missed it, the Blue Jays made 3 trades today, which is more trades than they've made on deadline day than they'd made for the last 16 years combined. Felix DuBront went to the Oakland A's for cash. Doesn't sound like much, but it probably helps because the Blue Jays kind of tight on dough. Then the Jays traded 3 young left-handed pitchers, one of whom you know, Rob Rasmussen, along with Jacob Brents and Nick Wells, to the Seattle Mariners for Mark Lowe, who arrived here late in the game and will be activated for tomorrow. They also traded 2 young right-handed pitchers, including a very, very good prospect in Alberto Tirado. He and Jimmy Cordero go into the Philadelphia Phillies in exchange for Ben Revere, who we hope will be here tomorrow, and he will be the left fielder against right-handed pitching. Still going to have Danny Valencia out there against lefties to get that big bat in the lineup. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. It's Jays Talk to midnight, and we'll have the David Price introductory news conference for you as soon as it begins. Right now, John Gibbons is on the podium. Josh Donaldson is going to come to the podium next. He was the hero tonight, driving in the winning run in the 11th as part of a 3-hit, 4-RBI night. And then it'll be David Price's turn, and we will have that for you. But before we get there, let's go to the calls. Bill is in Scarborough. Bill, you're going to lead things off on Jays Talk tonight. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. It was a beautiful game tonight, wasn't it?
This was fun and exciting. Absolutely.
Oh, I was. I mean, my son is. I'm trying to get him into baseball, and he watched for me the first time. And I said to him after the game, I said, "This has got to be a great game. One of the greatest games I've seen this year." All right. I said it was entertaining. It had everything. He had. We came back twice, and we won our next innings. What can you ask for? I mean, you know, great. We got these beautiful players. We came in Anthopoulos. Looks like Einstein. When he came, saw what we did, Price. I can't say enough about what he's doing to take us for that run this year, because I think that's what Toronto fans want. We want to go for it. And tonight showed us that this team is out to win. I appreciate the team. I appreciate the fans that go out and the effort these guys put in. But I do think they have one weakness.
What is it? Don't say what I think you're going to say.
The manager?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who managed a brilliant game tonight,
yes,
start to finish?
You want me to tell you why?
Yes.
Drew Hutchinson.
Yes.
The last 4 or 5 starts, been giving up 4 or 5 runs every flipping start.
If I was the manager of Major League Baseball,
it's not okay. Good. No, if I have a pitcher that just came back off the DL that has the potential to give me 3 runs only today, why would I want to put Drew out when he hasn't done? I put Drew in the bullpen tonight. This is how the game started for me. I was really disappointed when he gave up 3 runs again in the first inning. This cannot happen if you want to win baseball games. You have to go out and you have to get everything you can to be a pitcher, not a thrower, right?
No. And
if Gibbons can recognize the fact that this pitcher is going struggling on starts, then I don't like him. You know who the best manager would be?
Who?
Greg Zahn.
Okay. All right, thanks, Bill. Appreciate the call. I don't know who you were talking about coming off the disabled list or anything like that. I certainly don't think it's a good idea to have Drew Hutchison in the bullpen. You're right, Hutchison struggled, although it's funny because there were a lot of people today who were complaining that Drew Hutchison was taken out of this game too soon. But he's the best they've got right now in that fifth spot. And again, what people need to recognize, first of all, he's got a lot more in him, A. We all know that. And two, nobody has a good fifth starter. There's no team in the major leagues that has a good fifth starter. The trade for David Price allows you to make Drew Hutchison your fifth starter instead of your fourth and count on him a little less. Nobody has a good fifth starter. And something else, are you ready? Folks out there, you might want to sit down because I might just blow your mind with this one. The Blue Jays have won two-thirds of the games that Drew Hutchison has started. The Blue Jays have a better record with Drew Hutchison on the mound. Now, take that for what it's worth. It doesn't really have that much to do with Drew because he hasn't been pitching well at all. The Blue Jays have a better record with Drew Hutchison on the mound than when Mark Burley starts. They have a better record than when R.A. Dickey starts. And do they have a better record when Marco Estrada starts? They have a better record than when Marco Estrada starts. So, Drew Hutchison is not killing this team. He's certainly not having a good year, without question. He had been really, really good at home. Tonight, not so much. He gave up those three in the first, but he managed to battle through until the sixth inning from that point on and not give up another earned run. Just in case the idea exists that Drew Hutchison is killing the Blue Jays. He is not having a good year. I am not telling you that Drew Hutchison is having a good year. What I am telling you is that when Drew Hutchison starts, the Blue Jays are 14-7 this year. And that is the best record of any single starting pitcher that the Blue Jays have. And Drew Hutchison is their fifth starter. And again, we know he's got a lot more in him. Adam in Shelburne, you're up next. Welcome to Jays Talk to Midnight.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good. You got to be quick.
Okay, well, I just want to say Toronto fans need to wake up. This is awesome. We got a great team. It seems like all the fans, though, they've been wanting this. Now they got it, and it's like they want a superstar at every position. And I just think we got superstars all over this team. Alex has done an amazing job. I'm super excited. I was just getting off work when the game was ending, and I heard Donaldson's hit, and I had chills going up my back, my arms. I started slamming on my horn. It's awesome to be a Toronto Blue Jays fan, and that's all I got to say, Mike. Have a good night.
All right. Appreciate the call and the brevity, and I hope you didn't scare anybody slamming on your horn when Josh Donaldson drove in the winning run. I don't know. I don't think there have been many complaints, to at least not to me. I know that there are people who will always go on social media or whatever just, to whine because that's the way they like to get attention. But I don't think that there are people who are actually upset about this or think that they didn't do enough, especially after today. You know, the Blue Jays have turned over 20% of the roster in the last week. So I think most people are happy. David Price is too, and he's coming to the podium right now. So let's listen in.
Please wait for the microphone to be brought to you for your questions. Go ahead.
Thank you guys for waiting all day. It's been a pretty long day for me, but it was definitely well worth it. I'm happy to be here. I want to thank the Tigers, verbally for taking the chance on me last year. I know it didn't work out the way that we imagined it, as it would. But I'm happy to be a part of the Toronto Blue Jays, and this is a very exciting team.
Hey, David, Arden Zwelling with Sportsnet. Just to come into a game like that and a walk-off win like that, what's the feeling like after that?
That was good. That was very good. Drew gets two quick outs there in the first, and then, that's what the Royals do. They kind of score runs in bunches, their team speed. They put the ball in play. They don't strike out a lot. And, they scored three before we had a chance to swing the bat. Whenever you're facing a guy like Cueto, that's – You know, that's a tough hill to climb, and we did that. We chipped away, and that's what good teams do, and that's what we showcased today. So that was very impressive. And then obviously with Josh, SEC guy, hitting the walk-off, that was huge.
David, no doubt an extremely long day for you. Are you able to laugh at what's happened so far today, just the fact that the blown tire, the
absolutely.
However you got here eventually?
Yeah. I mean, it could have been much worse than what it was. I mean, I really didn't even know that my tire had blown. You know, it just kind of popped up on my dashboard. I mean, I didn't feel it. It didn't jerk me either way or anything crazy like that. You know, nobody was around me, so it was probably best case scenario, you know, how it happened. So I could have gotten here, you know, around 12:30 or 1 o'clock like I had imagined and been able to get my work in, but that wasn't the case. So as you know, whenever we get done, I'm gonna go get my work in for the day.
Did the popcorn meet your expectations?
Above and beyond. And I think some guys might have taken some before I got here, but I was completely okay with that. This is the best popcorn I've ever had. I mean, I get it every time I come here in big bags full. So that was definitely enough popcorn.
David, again, you mentioned how things didn't work out with the Tigers this season. How excited are you to join a team that's on the cusp of trying to get into a wild card spot and trying to make the playoffs and end a major league leading drought of 22 years without a postseason berth?
That's very special. You know, I mean, everything that you said, you can feel the excitement. You know, whenever you're in the dugout, you can feel it in the locker room. I mean, this is a group of guys that want to win, and this is a management in the front office that wants to win. So whenever you kind of put those things together, and then you know, put it in this city, I guess in this country, you know, they want to win, and that's very important. That's what matters.
David, can you describe the things that maybe you didn't like when you had to compete against the Blue Jays and the things that you're most most excited about having on your side now?
The long ball. I mean, they can hit homers, man. I mean, they're a tough group to pitch against. It's whenever you're pitching against a team like Toronto, you never have not an easy inning, but an inning where you can kind of be like, all right, you know, I can relax a little bit this inning. I mean, not relax, but you don't have to go full bore. And with this team, you got to be on your P's and Q's, you know, at all times. And that's really tough. You know, it's mentally draining whenever you face a team like this because you constantly have to be in the game mentally, because if not, I mean, we can put up runs so fast, and it's fun to be a part of that.
You're listening to David Price's introductory news conference here on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
How does that kind of help you this time around? Are you able to use some things that you kind of learned along the way last year to help ease the transition this season?
Absolutely. I mean, going through something for the first time ever is always going to be the toughest time, you know, and then having to do it again, you know, it was easier for me. I mean, the situation that I was in, you know, being in Tampa for parts of seven seasons and then having to leave there, you know, that was extremely tough. You know, that was guys that I came up with throughout the minor leagues. You know, I had the same coaching staff, I had the same pitching coach, same trainers, you know, the entire time that I was there. And my time in Detroit was definitely enjoyable as well. You know, it started off rough last year, just the whole transition thing, being, like I said, in Tampa for parts of seven seasons and having to kind of just pack up on a minute's notice and then head to a new city to get to know new guys. But I feel like I'm pretty familiar with this team, you know, being in the AL East for this long. You know, if I don't know them personally, you know, before today, you know, I still felt like I knew quite a bit about them. So it definitely made it easier going through it my second time, and I'm happy to be here.
David, Ian Harrison, Associated Press. Three-part question. Where were you when Jenny busted her lip? Where is she now, and how did you get here in the end?
Chesterfield, Michigan, I think. It was like 30 miles north of Royal Oak, and I was just on the interstate. Then I got my extra tire put on, but the guy was like, where are you heading? And I was like, I'm going to Toronto. And he was like, you can't make it there on this tire. So I went to Discount Tires. They didn't have a tire to fit my back tire. And then I had to just sit in a Target parking lot and wait for the tow truck to come and wait for my ride to arrive. It is, yes. L-R, yeah.
David, John Gibbons today confirmed that you're going to start on Monday. He also said that he's expecting that you're able to pitch on every 5 days, regardless of off days. Are you ready for that challenge and ready to try and help this team win?
I've always been ready for that challenge. You know, that's what I've wanted. You know, that's what I would always tell Joe. That's what I would tell Brad. You know, if I need a day and it's possible, if we have an off day, I would definitely let them know. But if I don't say anything, I'm ready to go. You know, I feel like the way I treat my body, you know, the way that I work, you know, it puts me in a position to be successful every fifth day, and that's what it's about. You know, especially for a starting pitcher. So I just want to go out there every 5 days, give this team a chance to win, and have fun.
David, can you describe the reception you received when you finally walked into the clubhouse, and were there any especially funny or memorable interactions that you had?
Danny Valencia, I'm happy to wear the same jersey as that guy. I feel like I kind of kept him in the big leagues for a while. I mean, it's not that he wouldn't be in the big leagues if it wasn't for me, but I didn't hurt his case for sure. But just getting to meet guys that I've never met before, you know, guys that I see all the time, you know, doing good stuff on TV. You know, it's always – baseball is a game that we play. You know, this is my dream to do what I get to do. But, you know, what makes this game so special is the relationships and the people that you get to meet along the way. And that's what I take pride in, is to getting to know my teammates on a personal level. And that's what I'm looking forward to doing for the rest of the season.
Anything further for David?
This is your second time being traded in back-to-back summers. You're here for a couple months. Is there any thought of re-signing, or is that way too early to even consider at this point?
I mean, right now it's definitely too early. I mean, I'm definitely familiar with the city, all that stuff. I mean, you have to see how it goes. You know, I mean, I've put a ton of time into this game, a ton of hard work and dedication, and you know, I want to see where it goes. And I definitely wouldn't rule this place out. I mean, whenever I was with Tampa or, you know, playing against the Blue Jays, you know, you always look forward to coming to Toronto. It's a fun atmosphere. You know, like I said, I love the popcorn here, so that's definitely a plus. I mean, I've talked about that for a while now. I even told Steph Curry a couple months ago, I was like, the Blue Jays have the best popcorn in the world, so you need to go get some of their popcorn. But this is a place that wants to win. That's what you want to be a part of. You know, I want to win championships. I want to do great things for whatever organization that I play for, whoever that is, you know, in 2016. And, you know, this organization definitely put, you know, their best foot forward, you know, at the trade deadline, and that's – you got to love seeing that.
Anything further? All right, David, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks.
Welcome to the Blue Jays.
Thanks. Go Vanderbilt.
David Price ends it with a go Vanderbilt. And how about that? Some terrific stuff from the newest Blue Jay, David Price. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And in case you're wondering, David Price was asked if there's anyone he looks forward to not having to deal with. He says Danny Valencia, because he felt like he's kept that guy in the big leagues for a long time. He quickly backtracked and said, oh, no, he'd still be in the major leagues even without me. But you look up the numbers. Danny Valencia, 12 for 20 lifetime against David Price, hitting .600 with a 14-17 OPS. Troy Tulowitzki also wore him out, but only in 7 plate appearances. Jose Bautista hit .327 off of David Price with an OPS over 1,100. That stuff's not all that important. I just kind of thought, since he brought it up, you might like to hear some of the actual numbers. David Price is a Toronto Blue Jay as part of an incredible trade deadline week for the Jays. They make 5 trades. They bring in 5 players, all of whom are upgrades, several of whom are major, major upgrades. And they bring in David Price. Now, I don't know that this means anything, but David Price has never lost here at Rogers Center in 9 starts. Now, he's not going to pitch against the Blue Jays anymore. but he's never lost here at Rogers Center. There are pitchers who aren't terribly comfortable pitching in this place. There are a lot of pitchers who aren't terribly comfortable pitching in this place. David Price is certainly not one of them. We know Troy Tulowitzki, best shortstop in baseball. He's here. He's made a huge impact in the three games that he's already played. He scored the winning run tonight. He drove in three and hit a homer and a couple of doubles in his debut Wednesday night. David Price and LaTroy Hawkins has already had two terrific relief appearances for the Blue Jays, and he really stabilized the back of that bullpen. Who are the other two guys that the Blue Jays picked up? Well, Mark Lowe is one of them, a reliever that comes over from the Seattle Mariners in exchange for three young lefties, Rob Rasmussen, Jacob Brents, and Nick Wells. Mark Lowe is 32 years old. He's in his 10th year in the major leagues. And this is the thing. And I've said this many, many times when we talk about it, and we did this, we talked about this a lot over the winter when the Blue Jays didn't spend money on relievers and people were saying, well, why didn't they sign Luke Gregerson? Why didn't they sign Pat Neshek? Why didn't they sign John Axford? Why didn't they sign Francisco Rodriguez, Rafael Soriano, all of that stuff? And one of the things I said and one of the things I continue to believe is relief pitching is, aside from the best of the best, really up and down. Guys will have great years. Guys will have terrible years. Somewhere in between, and you never really know what you're going to get when you're going to get it. But pretty much every major league reliever has a fantastic year in him. You just never know when it's going to be. And there are never any indications that it's about to happen. Mark Lowe is having his incredible year right now. Mark Lowe, in 36 innings pitched this year, has given up 4 runs. That's an ERA of 1. He has 47 strikeouts. This is a guy with a career strikeouts per 9 innings coming into this season of 7.7. And this year he is striking out 11.8 batters per 9 innings. He's not walking anybody. He's only given up 1 home run. Mark Lowe is having his great year, and the Blue Jays are going to try to take advantage of the last couple of months and hopefully more of it. He doesn't have a brutal platoon split at all. Lefty's hitting 250 against him. Righty's hitting 225. OPS difference is 44 points side to side. He is having a fantastic season. Big, hard-throwing righty who the Blue Jays have picked up. And they picked up Ben Revere from the Philadelphia Phillies. We just saw him here Tuesday, Wednesday when the Phillies were here and the Blue Jays split that series. We did see him butcher a fly ball in center field, but he's not coming here to play center field. He's coming here to play left field. Revere in the two games went 1-for-8 with a single. He is 27 years old. Came up with the Minnesota Twins, traded to the Phillies, and this year, last year, he led the major leagues with 184 hits. He's a hit-first guy. He's not a guy who's going to walk a lot, but he does have a career 292 batting average, which would seem to indicate that even though he doesn't walk a lot, he's a pretty good hitter, and there's a place for guys like that in the game. He does have a career 322 batting average on balls in play, and this year it's at 328, so it's right along those lines. He's hitting 298, 334 on base, 374 slugging. So his game is his legs. 24 stolen bases, he's been caught 5 times. For his career, 169 stolen bases, he's been caught 40 times. High percentage base stealer. Runs really, really, really well, which is something that the Blue Jays don't have right now beyond Kevin Pillar. Lack of walks and lack of slugging means his OPS will be low, his OPS plus will be low, his nerd stats aren't great. But certainly he's an upgrade on what the Blue Jays are running out there in left field right now. And you put him in the 9 spot in the lineup, which John Gibbons has said is going to happen, then all of a sudden, when he does get on, he can wreak havoc with Troy Tulowitzki, Josh Donaldson, Jose Bautista, and Edwin Encarnacion coming up behind him. So those are your new Blue Jays. And now this is a really, really good team. It's gone from being a good team to a really, really good team. And a lot of that was on display tonight, even without David Price and without Mark Lowe and without Ben Revere in their come-from-behind 7-6 win over the Kansas City Royals. I'm Mike Wilner, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays talk to midnight is upon us. Mark Lowe is here. He arrived late in the game. We just heard from David Price, very obviously. Ben Revere, we believe, is going to arrive tomorrow. Maybe not. They got 72 hours to report once you're traded. The Philadelphia Phillies were just here. It's too bad they couldn't complete the deal on Wednesday. But the Phillies are home, and they beat the Atlanta Braves 9-3 tonight, and maybe Ben Revere is on a plane right now, headed to his new home. Maybe he was on a plane 6 hours ago, headed to his new home. He's probably not on a plane right now. I don't think the flights are this late. But if they do show up, then the Blue Jays have at least two roster moves to make tomorrow, if not three. You kind of wonder how long they're going to go without a backup middle infielder. Devin Travis went on the disabled list today. And my thinking is a guy like Ty Kelly is probably going to get called up, if not a Jonathan Diaz. Maybe a Steve Tolleson. And you have to add Lowe and Revere as well. So three guys are probably going to go. One of them will be Ezekiel Carrera, you would imagine. He was 3-for-5 today. He's not going to go down without a fight, but Ben Revere was brought in here to be an improvement on Ezekiel Carrera, and that's the spot he takes. And there are two relievers who are going to have to go, and it's going to be two of Ryan Tepera, Aaron Loop, and Bo Schultz, you would imagine. Schultz has easily been the best of that trio, and he pitched two strong innings again today, done in by a wild pitch in the seventh inning to allow a run. And we'll see. We'll see what roster moves the Blue Jays come down with over the course of the next 14 hours. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Back to the phones we go. Yaz is in St. Mary's. Hello, Yaz.
Hey, Mike. Wow. A couple of days ago, we had a conversation, and we were discussing whether or not we were going to get a hired gun. It looks like we got a hired gun. Are we committed to David Price, who seemed to have been, besides the popcorn freak, and I wish I had the popcorn contract for Rogers because he's going to go through the roof.
Yeah, that's true. If you want to invest in popcorn futures, now is the time to do it.
It looks like David Price was the biggest fan tonight. Every time they cut to him, he was just on his knee, totally focused on everything that was happening on the field. It was hysterical. It was fun.
That's what winning is. It's fun. And that's what the Blue Jays are capable of doing right now. So
the only thing I wish
kind of marvelous
is that the Blue Jays would have sent him a limo.
Well, I think he wanted, I mean, first of all, let's not, you know, a lot of people have talked about that. Why was David Price driving to Toronto today? David Price makes $20 million. So
he's going to make $30 million next year.
Yeah, he probably is. But if David Price had wanted to fly, if David Price had wanted someone to drive his car here, David Price could very easily have made those arrangements, gotten someone to drive his car here, and the Blue Jays would have flown him in. I think he wanted to drive his car to Toronto. Maybe he wanted that time to think. Maybe he just enjoys that sort of thing. I don't know. If I was traded from the Tigers to the Blue Jays or vice versa, I would probably want to do the same thing. So I think that's what it comes down to. And I will ask him. I mean, Sunday, chances are we'll have him on the pregame show, and I will ask him why he chose to drive his own car to Toronto.
Now, the second thing, just before I go. So we give out those rain jackets in center field, right, when Donaldson's out? Because he brings
for the All-Star break, yeah, they did that.
Okay,
for the All-Star
break. Why don't they continue that and put a rainmaking machine out there? So every time he does what he does because he's Josh Donaldson, the rain starts in center field. It would be amazing.
I don't know that people would want to get wet.
But they've got the jackets on. They've got the rainmaking jackets. They were given it.
Just hey, you know what? If you want to put a sprinkler out there when Josh Donaldson hits a home run, set it off, I got no problem with that. if the people have no problem with that. Sure. Why not?
Do you think Revere will be leadoff at some point?
No. John Gibbons has already said that he's going to hit ninth.
Okay.
And you know what? I would have been fine with him leading off. I think he's good enough. You know, it's not like you're putting a guy up there with a 290 or 300 on base just because he's fast. He is a 300 hitter, and he walks a little tiny bit. He's certainly not a textbook leadoff man because he doesn't get on enough.
But I
dig the idea of having those four bashers right at the top.
Right. And he's got the speed, too, to carry that bottom of the order over.
Yeah, I don't know what that really means. I know some people like having speed at the bottom. I wouldn't necessarily put it there. I mean, your worst hitter should go at the bottom of the order, and your worst hitters, when Devin Travis is healthy, your worst hitters are Kevin Pillar and Ben Revere, and that's pretty impressive considering they're both pretty okay.
And what do you think of the bench? The bench is amazing going into the playoffs, or going into this last couple of months and the playoffs.
I think that's pushing it. I don't think it's amazing. I think it's pretty good. It's certainly the best they've had in a long, long, long time. We'll see what happens when it's all said and done. You know, when Travis comes back, then you would imagine that your bench will be Ryan Goins, Deonner Navarro, and whichever either Colabello and Valencia or Smoke and Ben Revere. There are a lot of weapons there. It's definitely a good bench. It's a really good team. Thanks, Yaz. I want to try to get to a lot of people. We are Blue Jays talking until midnight. We may be joined a little bit later on by Andy McCullough of the Kansas City Star. I hope the Kansas City Star, because that would be really bad if I said that and he's not. Yeah, he is. I spoke to him earlier during the seventh inning, and he said he would drop by and have a chat, but that was before the game went 11, so his time is definitely going to be pushed back. But we still have John Gibbons we may hear from, Josh Donaldson, and you. Jays Talk to Midnight. Blue Jays beat the Kansas City Royals 7-6, coming back from three separate three-run deficits. Like, separate. I know sometimes you'll hear people say they were down three runs twice, and it was like they were down 3-0 and they were down 4-1. That doesn't count. The Blue Jays were down 3-0, tied it up, down 6-3, tied it up. Two separate three-run deficits, and they beat the best team in the American League. And they've guaranteed at least a split of this four-game series with Mark Burley and R.A. Dickey still to pitch. Jack is in Scarborough listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Jack.
Hi there. My eyes would just like to say it's a great show. It's a first time kind of a long time listener. It's a great to get on a show.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Look, I want to ask you something, but I mean, I know you get a lot of crazy people on here telling you some crazy stuff, and it must drive you a little, little not knowing. But I just want to ask you, I'm not to go on and on about the free agent, because I know that's so long from now. But I just want to know what you think. But with the Canadian dollar so low right now, and the exchange rate, how difficult is it going to be? I mean, you look at a team like the Blue Jays, they went on and traded Felix Dubron for cash only, I know. What's it going to take to sign a free agent in American dollars? I mean, you look at, for example, I'm not saying the Blue Jays are going to make an offer on David Price, but it's going to take $230 million U.S. in Canadian. That's going to be upwards of $300 million Canadian. You know, it's really going to shake up, at least in the Blue Jays perspective, the market. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I do know what you're saying, and I appreciate the call, and that's a real concern. You know, the Canadian dollar is at a long-time low right now. The Blue Jays used to get equalization payments from the commissioner's office when the dollar was this bad. They may again, but they were, $5, $8, $10 million. It really doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. A lot of the Blue Jays' revenue is in Canadian dollars, and a lot of the Blue Jays' expenses are in American dollars, and it's an issue. But they're still running a top 10 payroll right now in the major leagues. It didn't stop them from spending $7 million on 2 months of David Price. So those are good indications. And the truth of the matter is, if this team plays as well as it should and is as good as it should be, this place is going to be packed. There are going to be millions of dollars in playoff dates made. And there will certainly be investment into the team, one would think, when you see just how much money they're making by making the playoffs. I don't know that they have a shot at David Price regardless. There are going to be a lot of people in there swinging, and Alex Anthopoulos has never given a deal like David Price is going to command on the open market. We'll see. But one would hope that the Canadian versus American dollar won't be a significant thing. It is a reality, though, unfortunately, that we have to be talking about this again after the Canadian dollar had been so healthy against the U.S. dollar for a while. Jim in Toronto, welcome to Jay's Talk, Jim.
Thanks for having me. I mean, since we're talking about money, all year, one of the things we've been talking about when it comes to what free agents we might be able to afford in the offseason, everybody keeps saying, well, you know, we're going to have Mark Burley's money coming off the books. And I've always wondered why we automatically think that he wouldn't be a guy that we wouldn't want to re-sign. Two reasons that I can think of that people might say that. The first reason would be, well, you know, maybe he doesn't want to be here, or maybe he wants to exercise options and things like that. I know when he first came here, he was maybe a little bit sour on it.
I don't want to be rude, but I want to cut you off because honestly, this isn't the time to have this conversation. It's, you know, they just loaded up. They're arguably now the best team in the league. They've just beaten the best team in the league twice. I have no idea why we would be talking about whether or not they're going to re-sign Mark Burley. Like, honestly, this, and I don't blame you, because this is what Toronto has become over the last 20 years, when we really haven't had anything to cheer about in any sport save for these last 2 years with the Raptors and a couple of years like 1999 and 2000. When the Maple Leafs got to the Final Four. We're all so used to looking ahead, because what we've got in front of us isn't very appetizing. But right now, what we've got in front of us is extraordinary. This is the best team that the Blue Jays have ever assembled. Ever. It's the best offense they've ever had. It's a terrific bullpen. It's not Ward Hanke, but the defense is really good. The starting pitching has a legit horse at the front. We shouldn't be talking about, is David Price going to re-sign? We shouldn't be talking about, is Mark Burley coming back? We should be talking about how awesome these next 2 months are going to be, and hopefully three.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I am excited, and you know, I'm just as excited as anybody else. It's just something I was curious about and want to get your thoughts on, but it's okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I appreciate it. I don't think Mark Burley's coming back, but again, I don't think. I mean,
I just think it's funny that nobody seems to want him back, or
I think
that it's
everybody wants him back. I don't think there's a single person here that doesn't want him back. But yeah, we've gone too long on this. I do appreciate the call, Jim. Thank you. And this is something in general. If I leave you with anything. I want it to be that it's okay to enjoy what's happening right now. I said it last night. Don't miss these great trees because you're so busy looking at the forest. I don't want to be too flip, but honestly, who cares if Mark Burley comes back next year? Who cares if David Price re-signs? The 2015 Blue Jays are what we should be concentrating on right now. This team just had a dramatic makeover. This team is one game out of a playoff spot. This team just won twice against the best team in the American League, and today beat the guy who's supposed to be the major trade deadline acquisition, who is the major trade deadline acquisition, second best starting pitcher traded at the deadline. The Blue Jays got the best one. Why the hell are we talking about next year? Zach in Aurora. Hey, Zach.
Hey, Mike. Big fan of the show. Couldn't agree more. I think we should be talking about this year. I just had a comment and then a question. I just wanted to get your opinion here. You were talking earlier about which one of the relievers would have to be sent down. And I got to think it has to be Loop. I mean, I know he's the the lefty specialist, but to have a reliever with an ERA above 5 in your bullpen, that's not playoff material, in my opinion. You've got to be Loop getting sent down. And also, Hutchinson, just wondering, do you see him being sent down? I know we traded most of the pitching prospects away now. Is there any chance gets moved to like a long role out of the bullpen or sent down? I mean, I don't need to tell you.
Replaced by who?
That's what I'm asking. I mean, you can't go into the playoffs with Hutchinson. I mean, he's the guy. You can't rely on him for 5 innings, let alone 7.
First of all, Drew Hutchinson was fine tonight. I don't have a problem with the way Drew Hutchinson pitched tonight, but Drew Hutchinson is not going to start in the playoffs. And I like that we're actually saying that sentence unironically. You don't need a fifth starter in the playoffs, and often you don't need a third starter in the fourth starter in the playoffs. So you don't have to worry about that. As far as Aaron Loop is concerned, reliever's ERA isn't really the best way to evaluate a guy. Aaron Loop's walk rate is still very low. His strikeout rate is still very high. He's giving up about a hit an inning. He's just given up 6 home runs to right-handed hitters, which really, skew those numbers quite a bit. So, and Aaron Loop tonight was brought in to face one lefty, and the guy hit a 30-foot roller that Josh Donaldson threw away. Aaron Loop did his job tonight. Now, whether Hosmer would have been safe anyway, but even without the throwing error, but Aaron Loop did what he was supposed to do tonight. He got a left-handed hitter to take a terrible swing at a really good pitch and barely make contact. So that's what you're looking for him.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but correct me. Maybe you don't feel the same, but when he comes in the game, I feel uneasy.
Okay, and it's not. It's certainly not just you, but that's part of being a fan. Fans have their favorites, and fans have guys they can't stand, and fans have guys who get them all tense when they come into a game, and they remember the times where bad things have happened as opposed to all the times that good things have happened, right? And that's certainly the case with Aaron Loop. I'm not saying Aaron Loop's having a good year, and I'm not saying that Aaron Loop hasn't had some terrible moments at the absolute worst possible time. But Aaron Loop, in his last 25, the last 25 times Aaron Loop has taken the ball, 18 of them, he's left without an earned run being scored, which is still bad for a reliever. But we're talking about more than two-thirds of the time this guy gets the ball, he gets the job done. And the way people talk, you would imagine he's given up a run 3 out of every 4 times he takes the ball. I had people on Twitter today saying that they're cringing because Brett Cecil was coming into the game in the 10th inning. Brett Cecil's now had 13 scoreless outings in a row. So you have to, there are a couple of things you have to remember. And we're up against the clock, so I have to let you go. Nobody has 7 great relievers. Nobody has 5 great starters. That's just not the way the game is built. You're going to have guys you don't like on a pitching staff, even on a champion. And the Blue Jays don't have many of those. Your calls will continue all the way to midnight. But we got to let the network go at the bottom of the hour. Blue Jays beat the Royals 7-6 in 11. It's the Honda postgame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
It's a line drive into center field coming on Kane. It's a base hit and skips by him. It rolls all the way to the wall. Goins around third. He's heading home. There's no throw. He scores. Tulowitzki to second. And the Blue Jays now trail 6-4.
The second run-scoring double that Josh Donaldson would hit tonight, and the Blue Jays would get to 6-5. And then tie the game on that double play ball by Justin Smoke. and win it in the 11th. And I'm sorry for the pauses. But David Price is throwing right now. David Price is throwing on the field right now, right in front of the Blue Jays dugout, as you hear these the leaf blowers going in the stands to clean things up. There's a group out in left field playing baseball on the field, and David Price is throwing in front of the Blue Jays dugout with the Jays strength and conditioning coordinator, Chris Joyner, and he's probably going to go and throw a bullpen. It is 11:33 p.m. Eastern time. He drove here from Detroit today, waited for a few hours with a flat tire at the side of the road, watched a ball game, met with the media, and David Price is working out right now on the field. That's who the Blue Jays just picked up. He's going to start Monday when the Jays open up a four-game series against the Minnesota Twins, the team they trail currently by one game for the final playoff spot in the American League. In case you're setting your sights higher, the Blue Jays are six games back of the New York Yankees for first place in the American League East, or at least they will be soon. Right now it's 5.5, but the Yankees are beating the Chicago White Sox 13-5 as they play in the top of the eighth inning. So the Yankees are going to win tonight. Who holds the top wild card in the American League? That would be the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, who currently trail the Dodgers 3-1 in the bottom of the fifth. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim sit 3.5 games ahead of the Blue Jays. So it could be three if the Dodgers win tonight. And that's for home ice in the wild card game. But again, the Blue Jays have their sights set higher. They've picked up two games on the New York Yankees in the last 2 days going into today, and they play the Yankees 13 more times this season. This is going to be a really fun August, September, and hopefully October. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Taking it to midnight at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance. 1-888-666-0590. So let's get right back to the phones. Brent is in Shelburne. Brent, go right ahead.
Hey, you know, this team is so exciting that if I had one complaint, it would be that it will be really, really difficult to get tickets now.
I wonder about that. I hope so.
Sorry.
I mean, it was a phenomenal atmosphere in here tonight.
I would just say that it's one complaint that I could live with.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it. There will still be lots of complaints on this program, I'm sure, over the course of the next couple of months. I mean, the Blue Jays are going to lose 3 or 4 out of every 10 games they play. I can pretty much guarantee that. And that still would be good enough to make the playoffs. But I appreciate that complaint. Almost 30,000 here tonight, and boy, did it feel like there was a playoff atmosphere. Thanks, Brent. Appreciate the call. Andy McCullough of the Kansas City Star. I promised you he would come, probably, and he has arrived. And thank you, especially after an 11-inning game where you had to work overtime. Now, I've said a couple of times, and I just said to that last caller, felt like a playoff atmosphere. You, sir, familiar with playoff atmospheres, having watched the Kansas City Royals through that amazing postseason run last year. What did it feel like in here for you tonight?
Yeah, it was it was pretty good. I mean, I guess we're a little spoiled because it was the atmosphere in Kansas City last year during the playoffs was unlike, I think, anything I'd seen in a while. But for a random July night, you know, this was a pretty great crowd. And you could feel it really when, you know, in the 11th inning when Donaldson was up, almost like a sense of inevitability about that. Donaldson's a monster. I mean, my God, he's an absolute monster. It was fun. It was a fun game.
This team, and I love to get the outsider perspective on it, especially, I mean, we haven't even seen what it is yet because Ben Revere's not here, Mark Lowe's not here, David Price hasn't started yet. But this is just, I mean, the relentlessness of this offense is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like I guess it's not fair that they put Tulowitzki, Donaldson, and Bautista as, like, the top three. Like, they should put some crappy hitter in there because that's what every other team does. Like, if you're the Royals, right, that'd be, like, Kane leading off, then Hosmer, then Gordon or Ben Zobrist, something like that. It'd be, like, using your best hitters at the top of the lineup. So it's almost like unfair every time it rolls over. You have to face these, you know, and I forgot even Encarnacion. I'm not sure how well he's hitting this year, but I know the other three are obviously doing really well. So, yeah, I mean, just that top three, turning them over and getting them as many plate appearances as possible is just really ferocious.
Well, with Andy McCullough, the Kansas City Star, I would love to ask you about the feeling around a team and the feeling in a room and covering a team that makes huge splashes at the trade deadline, but the Royals didn't do that last year, and they managed to get to the World Series anyway. All you did was get Liam Hendricks and Eric Kratz.
Well, they got Josh Willingham, who helped out a little bit, but you're right. I mean, they kind of did it with the core they had, and they... The thing about the Royals last year is they had a ton of good luck, like a ton of good luck. And even before they got to the playoffs, you know, they stayed relatively healthy. Their starting rotation was healthy pretty much all the way through. You know, and they just kind of had a formula that really made sense for October with the back end of the bullpen. So, yeah, it's a little different this year, you know, where the team is better than they were last year, and they're actually adding at the deadline. You know, they wanted to, like a lot of teams, you know, they had the pieces to get David Price last year, and they didn't have the money, you know. They probably had the money, but they didn't want to spend the money, you know, to get Price with his arbitration. So, you know, they didn't do anything, and there was a real sense of frustration, you know, with the players and some of the coaches that they had not added anyone. I think at the time they were, you know, four or five. They were maybe eight games back from Detroit, I want to say, in the division. And they didn't win the division, but they still finished with 89 wins and host the wild card game. So, anyway, it's all a ways to say that it's definitely a different feeling when you're adding David Price, when you're adding Johnny Cueto, you know, when you're adding Troy Tulowitzki or Ben Zobrist, than when you're doing nothing.
Yeah, and the Kansas City Royals, like the Blue Jays got their five guys. The Royals get Cueto, who pitched tonight and pitched well. It was lost later on after he had left, and they add Ben Zobrist, who helps with the loss of Alex Gordon and maybe even moves to second base. Is that what everybody's thinking when Gordon comes back?
That's what he should be doing. You know, the Royals' obsession with Omar Infante, you know, he's a good defender. I mean, but they talk about him like he's Robbie Alomar. I mean, it's he's a good defender, but he's got like a 550 OPS. And you see with Zobrist out there on the left, well, we see at least, he's not Alex Gordon out there. So, you know, you want him playing second base every day. And that's probably where he'll end up. But I was a little surprised that when they brought him in, they didn't immediately just make him their second baseman. I thought that's how he would be their everyday second baseman, and he would occasionally play the outfield. But they have different usage for him, and they know more about baseball than I do. So
maybe
it's hard to know more about baseball than I do. I spend most of my day, you know, watching like wrestling on YouTube,
which is one of the reasons you're a great Twitter follow. If anybody wants to, we've got Andy McCullough. It's at McCullough Star.
Canada are nicer, and now I know because you're saying I'm great on Twitter.
You're fun, at least. I try. And speaking of Twitter, let me throw something at you here, because I would have gotten, conservatively, 78,000 Fire Gibby tweets if he had brought in a left-handed pitcher in extra innings to face Tulowitzki, Donaldson, Bautista, with his closer still sitting there in the bullpen. What's the feeling going on when or what comes back to you when Ned Yost does stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same sentiment, although Royals fans kind of know that Ned Yost isn't getting fired anytime soon, so it's more just resignation. I mean, in that situation, obviously Greg Holland's a better choice, but Ned, like the 29 other managers in baseball, doesn't use his closer in tie games on the road. It's a frustrating thing, I think, if you think about the game analytically, but, you know, it's just the fact of life. You know, managers don't do it. So once you get past that, and once you can just, you know, be grown-ups about it and get that there's nothing fans or media or anyone can really do to change it, then, you know, it's the sort of game where the Royals, if they wanted to win that game, you know, after Madsen blew the lead in the seventh, I mean, they should have gotten a hit, you know, after that. And it's just, it's unfortunate that Morales, who's been a good pitcher, is kind of exposed to those, you know, the right-handed power there.
Did you find out anything after the game about the availability of Wade Davis? I think we were all wondering about that, too.
Yeah, Davis just had his back stiffened up. So, you know, that makes and Madsen's been good. I mean, Madsen's been good for them all year. I know Blue Jays fans who've seen him think he's, you know, batting practice. But he's been really good for them. He just didn't have good stuff tonight. He was up in the zone. And when you're up in the zone against, you know, Tulowitzki and Bautista and Donaldson, you're in trouble. So, yeah, if Davis just had a minor back thing, they think he'll be able to pitch tomorrow, but it's one of those things that had, you know, a lot of consequences tonight.
Landy McCullough, the Kansas City Star, I'll let you go. It's getting late, and we got a day game tomorrow. I still have to be on the air till midnight, but you don't. But I want to ask you one thing before you go, and that's just, I mean, going into 2013, the three longest playoff droughts in North American professional sports, Pittsburgh Pirates, Kansas City Royals, Toronto Blue Jays, all three of them major movers at the deadline this year, and all three of them have really good ball clubs right now where the Yankees don't do anything, and all these big teams, the Cubs barely did anything. It's a very different landscape.
Yeah, I think the changes to the CBA over the last two go-rounds that have really started taxing, like, the Yankees and Red Sox, you know, in their ways of acquiring international talent and spending in the draft, like spending over slot, have really evened the playing field in terms of talent acquisition. You know, because that's what it's about. How do you get talent into your organization? Whether you pay a lot of money for it, whether you pay a lot of prospects for it, you know, all these sorts of things. So, you know, you're seeing more level playing field where, you know, teams like the Royals, if you can get in talent like Salvador Perez, if you can. You know, if you were like the, you know, the Blue Jays and you're able to, you know, take your farm system and your big league club and find a way to get a Josh Donaldson, you know, you don't have to spend $200 million anymore to get this superstar level talent. And, you know, now that sort of, you know, steroids are being phased out of the game better than ever, you know, or as good as ever, I guess, like, free agent contracts don't work as well, you know, because guys aren't juicing. So the teams that benefit are the ones who can best acquire, you know, lower level talent or minor league talent, all of which is a long way of saying, yeah, it's cool that these teams are, you know, making the playoffs, and I think it's good for the game.
Yeah, I think I agree. It's cool and it's good for the game. Thanks for your time. Appreciate the insight, and hopefully we'll see you in October.
The Royals will probably be there, and they probably don't want to play the Blue Jays.
Everybody just really enjoyed hearing you say that. Thanks a lot. That's Andy McCullough of the Kansas City Star, and you can follow him on Twitter at McCulloughStar. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's get back to the phones. Blue Jays beat the Royals 7-6 in 11 innings. Peter in North York. Hello, Peter.
Mr. Wilma, how are you, brother?
I'm all right, thank you. Go ahead.
Long-time listener, lifelong fan.
Thank you.
Just a couple of things. One is I love Alex Anthopoulos, first of all. Don't think he needs to go anywhere. Second of all, just on the guy that called about these contract extensions and this, I got the greatest idea, the best way to get David Price, all the boys to re-sign. You know what that is?
Win the World Series?
Win the World Series.
Yeah, that's a good... although, you know, there is something to be said for the whole unfinished business angle too, though, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a short start. I think it's going to be a great run by them, and I got big belief right now. I think David Price bobblehead's got to come up real quick.
I don't think we're going to get one of those this year, but I do appreciate the call. I appreciate the excitement and the enthusiasm, absolutely, and there's no reason not to be really, really excited about this team. Like Andy McCullough just said, the Kansas City Royals are probably going to be there in October. That's true. They still have an 8-game lead over a Minnesota Twins team that really doesn't scare anybody and a Detroit Tigers team that just gave up for the season. They traded David Price and Yoenis Cespedes. So Kansas City's probably going to the playoffs. And as he said, they really don't want to face the Blue Jays, because why would you? Eric in Toronto, you're next on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so I'd just like to say that right now this is fantastic. The last two games, we've seen fantastic work out of the bullpen. And, yeah, between the bullpen pitchers and Gibby, you got to be feeling really, really good about that. All the moves that Alex has done in the last few days are really, really amazing, in a whole lot of different ways, right? Not just for now, but also he's building a little bit more core as well. I'm just wondering what you think in terms of the moves that he's made and it being in such a short time frame, and with the same thing happening with Michael Pineda being injured. I'm just wondering if you think that there may be a possibility that the Blue Jays had a little bit of inside information about Michael Pineda's status because it looks like they might be going all in rather than just trying to squeak into the playoffs.
No, I don't think that had anything to do with it at all. I think what had everything to do with it was the fact that the Blue Jays have this run differential that's now, what, plus 105, that's the best in the league, this historically good offense, and very, very obvious flaws that were, I don't want to say relatively easy to correct. Obviously, the cost was quite expensive, but, you know, you very easily see what you need to make this team a whole lot better. And that's why you do it. This is your shot. And this is it's the best offense he'd ever put together. You need a top-flight starting pitcher, so you go get one. You can fix the bullpen by, you know, with the Tulowitzki deal, adding Hawkins, and then by pulling in Mark Lowe and by having Aaron Sanchez. They're easy fixes with the right players, and now you've put together a real juggernaut. And, you know, they're not going to go 58-0 to finish the season or anything like that, but this is a really, really – this was a very good team that is now a really, really, really good team. And that's why you do it, because how long you want to wait?
No, I think it was Alex's shot right now as well. I agree with you. I just do find that it's really interesting with the way that things have panned out with Michael Pineda's situation.
Yeah, but look, the Yankees are going out.
And in terms of Rogers being willing to really do something like that for David Price, really going out a little bit more on a limb, it seems a little bit more than just like a wild card gamble. It seems like it's a gamble for something that's a little bit more. And I give them props because, to be honest, I was around and I went to the last regular season game in 1993, and it was exciting. And it all makes sense. It makes sense financially. The stadium's going to be packed for the rest of the season. And on top of that, they do have an actual shot looking at everything in the entire American League right now.
Yeah, it really does feel that way. Thank you. I appreciate the call. I want to sneak one more in before we go. Mark is in Nobleton. Hey, Mark.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Okay, you got a minute.
I just wanted to point out that sometimes the trades that aren't made are beneficial. In this respect, I want to talk about Deonor Navarro. I'm quite glad he's still with the Jays. I think he's a really good insurance policy if anything should ever happen to Martin.
Certainly better than just leaving yourself with Josh Tolley, absolutely.
Yeah, I think in keeping the young pitching that we have, I mean, he gave up a lot, but he's kept the core of the best of the young pitchers, too. So I think some of the trades that he didn't make are key, and I just wanted your opinion on that.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. Some of the best trades are the ones that you don't make, but we don't know what they could have gotten back if they traded Deonor Navarro, right? I mean, obviously, if it had been that tasty, they would have done it. So I think what it comes down to is that you never got a good enough offer to want to move him. Although I will say this, in the off season, there were a lot of people saying just move him to move the money and use that to sign a reliever or something else that can help the team. And I certainly would have been all for that at the time, and they didn't. And Navarro is a very helpful piece as a backup catcher, way more so. I thought he was going to be a good backup catcher, but I thought it was a luxury that they really couldn't afford, and they have held on to him, and it's worked out very well. Hopefully Russ Martin stays healthy, but if he doesn't, now you're not running with Josh Tolley as your everyday catcher. Thanks for all the calls. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get. Very enjoyable edition of Blue Jays Talk to Midnight on this trade deadline night. The Blue Jays beat the Kansas City Royals 7-6 in 11 innings. We'll be back tomorrow. Pre-game show at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for a 107 first pitch. Mark Burley against Yordano Ventura as the Jays look for a fourth straight win. We will see you then.